Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all absolutely doing fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we follow the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. It is Martin Luther King Day. We are live. I'll break that down in just a second. On Saturday, though, we talked about news the networks refuse to use. Liberty Roundtable Live, week in review. Incredible hour, by the way. It actually took us longer than an hour to do the recap. We have so much news to cover. We also talked about, Liberty Roundtable Live, week in review continued on the second hour. We talked about Hillary Clinton says black people all look alike. We talked about Maxine Waters confirms Big Brother database in 2013. That's scary as all get out. We talked about Obama. He's a racist. He does use the N-word. I've got Barack using the N-word. That's okay, but they're looking for Donald using the N-word. But they can't find it anywhere. They're melting down over that. Donald Trump promotes William Barr, who promotes gun control. That's a serious problem. Let me say that again. Donald Trump promotes William Barr, who promotes gun control. Tragic but true. President Donald Trump tells March for Life, I will veto any bill that promotes abortion. Good for President Trump. We also talked about Montana Senator Steve Daines with a D. He's going to form the Senate's first pro-life caucus. He announced that at the March for Life rally on Saturday. So that's great news. He says this will allow us to bring the pro-life groups that work off the Hill, as well as the pro-life senators and other staff on the Hill, to unify us so that we're all pulling in the same direction so that we can all advance the cause of life. That's good news. We talked about today's political and cultural battle. Projection is a tactic of all-out warfare. Yeah, the January issue of Whistleblower Magazines tackles this issue head on in a mind-blowing issue entitled Masters of Projections, how the Democrats literally use this tactic. Whatever they're doing, they act like you're doing. It's weird stuff. Anyway, it's called Masters of Projection. Very interesting tidbit brought forth by the folks in WND. All right. So, Kurt, you with me?
Buenos dias, Sam.
Excellent. You sound fantastic, sir. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. There must have been a glitch on my end. I don't know. They had a computer reset or something, and it changed the setting. I don't know why. Sorry about that.
Sounds great.
Thanks for your patience. We can hear you perfect, sir. And so we just did the recap of Saturday's broadcast. Mm-hmm. And now we're ready to start. News the networks refuse to use starts now. And I want to start with the Martin Luther King Jr. Day? Is that what we call it?
I think that's what they call it, yeah. MLK.
All right.
Something like that.
I want to talk about this day because, you know, Martin Luther King is a very strange bird. Okay, we celebrate his day like he's a rock star. And I believe the sad part is we've got fake news with regards to Martin Luther King Jr. All right. And the sad part is we manipulate the story of Martin Luther King till the cows come home. What do I mean? Well, we talk about the good in Martin Luther King, and I agree there is some good. He said, I have a dream where people are, you know, judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And he talked about, you know, we need to peacefully advocate for, you know, fair treatment and equal treatment. And okay, I agree with all those things. The problem that I have is all the information about Martin Luther King that is flat out ignored or intentionally buried. And I go on Google and search for Martin Luther King, truth about Martin Luther King, and on and on and on. And all I find is the good news. For example, was he really a doctor? Was he really a minister? What was his real name? His real name wasn't even Martin Luther King Jr. That's not even true. He was born, his name was Michael. There's many people that say he wasn't a real doctor. It was a, quote, honorary doctorate. He wasn't a real minister. It was an ministerial appointment or whatever. He preached peace, but yet everywhere he'd go after he would disappear, violence would erupt. On one hand, they say he was a great Christian leader. But yet, you know what? He was a serious, serious womanizer. He would be involved with prostitutes and, there was the violence and abuse towards women. All this stuff about Martin Luther King is buried. And I think whenever we have Martin Luther King Day, it's important to have honest Martin Luther King Day. It's important to have the truth and both sides of the story and a reality check. And sadly, you know, we've merged all the presidents into President's Day. We don't celebrate George Washington, one of the most honest men that I know of. We don't celebrate a lot of the other presidents that we could. It's all melted down into President's Day, but we have a Martin Luther King Day. Government shuts down, etc. And what's his claim to fame? Well, you could say, well, the civil rights movement. Sam, don't you get it? Come on now. He gave rise to it. Well, then why are we still battling about race? In fact, for the first 30, 40 years of my life, we didn't have a whole lot of racial strife. Yeah, in the 60s it was there, but I was born at the end of the 60s, 67. You know what? I thought we were past all the race strife. They claim that the Civil War was all about race. I disagree. It was about states' rights. But nevertheless, revisionist historians are always on the march. And then 100 years later, 1960s, we had the battles. I thought we were over that. But I see society just as racially manipulated and just as many racial problems today as they saw in their days. It's just different. You got the big fiasco in Washington, D.C., where you got the Indians or the Native Americans involved with the Trump Make America Great Again white people and the black people. They're all having a three-way racial battle right this very weekend. And the sad part is, folks, I want the truth. And let me explain the truth to you in the best of my opinion. Covering up the misdeeds and the wrong wickedness of Martin Luther King is dishonest and needs to stop. Mentioning the good things he promoted and the good things he advocated for, you know what? We should advocate for those things. In other words, I don't like or hate Martin Luther King Jr., not even his real name. I want to base it on principle. When he's right, he's right. When he's wrong, he's wrong. When he abuses women and hangs out with prostitutes and there's a big old FBI file on his tactics because of the communist money and ties, you know what? That's all wrong. I reject it, and I think we need to bring it forward as the truth. However, when he supports peace and suggests that we ought to be judged on the content of our character and I have a dream that people are equal and treated fairly, and those are wonderful things. I completely agree. We are all God's children. We should treat each other just like that, kindly, respectfully, appreciatively. Who is your neighbor? Is it the black guy? Yes, it is. Is it the white guy? Yes, it is. Is it the Native American? Is it the Asian? Is it? Yes, it is. We can be kind and respectful to everybody. But what I don't like is this whitewashed idea of Martin Luther King. It reminds me of Nelson Mandela. You know, this guy was literally did a lot of good in many ways, but he was also a big murderer. He was an evil guy in many ways, too. Are we going to acknowledge the truth about these people or not? Are we going to engage in fake news and just highlight all their good sides? Well, for some reason, you know, they act like Donald Trump's this big racist, but Martin Luther King was just a loving, kind, above reproach Christian. Well, the truth is a whole lot more gray than black and white on this. I'll tell you that right now, folks. So I, with the rest of everyone, hope we can treat people based on the content of their character, not on the color of their skin. I agree. And I hope we can stand for Christian values through and through. And I wish Martin Luther King would have done the same. There's my quick tribute for Martin Luther King Day. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with us. Do you want to chime in on Martin Luther King really quick, sir?
No, I just agree with what you're saying there, Sam. I share your feeling about him. I think it's sad that we don't recognize some of the greatest men, founders and framers of this great country, and instead, pay tribute to someone whose character was less than what it purported to be, what he hoped to be. But in some ways, we're all less than what we hope to be and what the ideal is. So, in that respect, we're very similar to him. Maybe we got to use this day as an opportunity to introspect, maybe evaluate our own character. Take a look at ourselves and say, you know, am I living up to my expectations of myself? Am I living up to heaven's expectation of myself?
Fair question. And by the way, if we were really to look at Martin Luther King's character openly, who he really was, though, I don't know how the Me Too movement can advocate for him. They got women's dinners for Martin Luther King. The way he treated women was deplorable, to say the least. Was abhorrent. You know, he had a lot of real inside problems. He wasn't the man that we're taught that he was, is the problem that I have with it all.
Right, right. It's the fake news. It's the spin, the revision of history. That's a big, big problem. Because
and I bring this up to get to the truth, and they do nothing but attack me.
Yeah.
Well, see, why is that?
Anyway, you got to expect.
There you have it. And I'm far from a perfect Christian as well, but I will say this, though. I'm not a womanizer, and violence does not follow my wake, and I don't have communist money funding what we do. So there you go.
Yep.
All right. The truth about Martin Luther King Jr., we wanted to highlight that really quick. Got to do it every Martin Luther King Day. It is Martin Luther King Truth Day, huh? All right. Governor Gary Herbert, the Olympic State of Utah, he's got a solution for the shutdown, lol.
He does, Sam. But he doesn't want to be the one to put it into effect, unfortunately. He thinks the federal government should fix the problem. Well, we'll talk about that.
So he's got a good idea, but he goes off the rails on how to implement. We'll talk about it with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Sam and Kurt on your radio. Love starts slipping away.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Loving Liberty Radio Network teaming up with Liberty News Radio, all hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. You got to love it. Lowell Nelson, our guest, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job on Liberty Roundtable Live. So Governor Herbert's solution for shutdown, give more power to the states. Sounds fantastic at first, Lowell.
Thank you, Sam. Yeah, he published this opinion piece in Politico last Thursday, just last week, and saying essentially that a return to what he calls robust federalism would be the real answer to the.
And by the way, he's right as rain. And federalism means that the federal government carries out with absolute authority the delegated responsibilities articulated in the supreme law of the land. There's a list there. And why, if the federal government could do anything based on the Supremacy Clause, why would there be a list? The answer is because the Supremacy Clause is manipulated and perverted into a lie. The truth is there's a list of appropriate delegated responsibilities for the federal government. Everything else should be left back to the people in the states respectively. That's what Herbert's talking about. And in that, he's spot on.
Absolutely right, Sam. And I'm glad you made that point about the real meaning of federalism, because when people talk about the federal government today, they usually mean the central government. The government that was created by the states, the one based back in Washington, D.C., when in reality, the federal government is the, it's all 51 governments. It's the central government plus the state government that created the federal government. Real federalism, as you say, is a combination. And so it is
a combination of broad powers to the states and limited, defined powers to the federal government.
Exactly right. And he says that these federal shutdowns aggravate him. And I agree, you know, it's aggravating to me. But he says that shutdowns also reveal what he calls a disheartening failure of federal leaders to accomplish the most basic responsibility to pay their obligations. Well, you know, I would just like to make a minor correction to the governor here and say that the most basic responsibility of government really is to protect life, liberty, and property. The states did not delegate authority to the central government to operate national parks. You just don't find that in the Constitution, Sam. It doesn't give, the states did not give to the central government any authority at all to operate national parks and most of the other things in which they're involved, you know, health care and education and so forth. So the list goes on and on. The list of domestic issues in which the central government has poked its nose, that's pretty much an endless list, and every single one of those powers ought to be, held tightly by the state, not by the central government. And so I really like the sentiment here that he provides, which is that the federal government needs to back off and relinquish its power back to the state. You know, the states should be the ones that deal with these domestic issues. And he's right as rain, as you say. But what's missing from this article, Sam, and the thing that I took to the biggest, angst about, or have the biggest angst about, is what he did not say, Sam. He did not say that states need to take back this power. He simply said that the central government must relinquish its power. They must give back some of the power. And, you know, in the ideal world, maybe that...
And we need to be very careful when we say give back. We don't mean that it has authority or rights to have that power and they need to give it back as if they've legitimately held on to it. What we need to understand is that what needs to happen is the federal government needs to quit doing what they have no authority to do, and the states need to basically assert themselves to regain that authority and power.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And so I wanted him to say that Utah would assume the management of the public lands within the borders of Utah permanently. That's what I wanted him to say, Sam. That's what I wanted him to write in this opinion piece, that the sovereign state of Utah will take over the management of all public lands within the borders of the state of Utah. I would have loved for him to say that and then to follow through and do that.
And I agree 100%, but as long as we have fiat money instead of honest constitutional currency, and as long as the state's on the federal dole, they'll never make a stand, sir. Never. So I appreciate even the idea, but unless we put the fundamental building blocks in place for the states to have a stand, you got to repeal the 17th Amendment so the states have a representation in Washington, a seat at the table, if you will, based on the checks and balances of the Constitution, and then you got to have honest money, then you got to have the states not on the federal dole. And I'm telling you right now, you'll never gain ground with it the way it currently is, because there is no seat at the table for the states in Washington, decreasing or defanging them, if you will. And then when they're on the dole, they just can't make a stand, because if they do, they'll just get whipped around by this, quote, federal stick.
That's right, because such a big fraction of our budget, probably a third of Utah's budget, really comes from the coffers of the central government. You know, and so it would be political suicide, really, for any state to cut those strings, you know.
And that's why I complain a lot that, you know, a lot of these talk show hosts and a lot of these Republicans and a lot of these governors, they all point to the right thing. And at first you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're clapping your hand and you're waving the flag and you're doing all these things. It's phenomenal. But then when you really dig in, look, if they miss the components, in sales, we call it the last mile, right? You got to close the deal, buddy. Well, with this going on, see, as long as they're on the dole, I'm telling you right now, Gary Herbert cannot do last mile. He cannot close the loop, because if he does, hey, pretty soon everybody will hate him because he's losing a third of their cash. And, okay, well, it's all based on dishonest money. There's no, if we really double down as a state, we have no representation in Washington on the state side of the equation of checks and balances. I'm telling you, it's impossible to get this done unless you connect those dots and really double down and say, look, we're not taking money from the feds. In fact, we're going to have the money go to us as a state as opposed to the feds. And okay, unless you make those fundamental changes, I just don't see how they'll ever get it done.
Well, and that's the solution right there, Sam, is that is to not give our money to the central government in the first place, put it that toward the state. In fact, we only get back 20 cents on every dollar we send back to Washington, D.C. on average. You know, if you look at this thing over time, over a 10-year span, you give $100 to the central government, you get $20 back. You know, that's not a good return on an investment. Nobody would stay in that kind of an investment relationship. And so Utahns need to be able to, instead of paying their taxes to the central government, to the Treasury, the IRS, let's route that money to the state of Utah instead. And instead of routing it through Washington, D.C., let's keep it here. And let's fund our own operations. Let's not take any more money from the federal government. And, you know, let's just do our own thing. Let's be a sovereign state that we are meant to be. I mean, that's what I wish Governor Herbert would have said in his speech. So while I agree with his sentiment, Sam, I think the solution he gives is merely like, you know, a baby in the corner crying that they want to, you know, they want their toys back. And you know, the big bully in the middle of the room is not about to give any of the toys back because they're the king of the room. They're the big bully in the room, and they've got control of everything, and they want to keep it that way.
But as Tom Woods talks about nullifying now, the way they need to do it is they need to simply force the federal government back to the list of delegated responsibilities based on nullify now, based on we're not taking your money, we're a sovereign state, we don't need it, we were never intended to get it in the first place, and then we need to move to honest money in the state of Utah. And then if we did that, plus had appropriate representation for the states in Washington, we could right this wrong. But the only way we're going to do it is by pure application of the principles that made America great in the first place, Lowell.
And those principles are found in the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and those other founding documents, Sam, that really on which this nation is based. These ideas, the ideas of self-governance, they are critical. And right now, if you're in debt, you don't have true freedom. You don't have true liberty. And all the states, Utah included, is definitely in deep debt to, you know, central government.
All right. We got to keep my voice. KMB First Annual Awards Gala and Fundraiser, or gala, as some like to say.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, Sam. This was basically a big party that was held at Entrada there in Lehi, Utah, sponsored by an organization called Keep My Voice, KMB. It was founded by Dave Bateman, and it was founded in response to the efforts of a group called Count My Vote here in Utah, which it has been undermining the caucus convention system for a number of years. And so Keep My Voice was put together to help save the caucus convention system. And with just a little bit of leadership, attracted hundreds and hundreds of volunteers to help in this great effort. And so this gala last Saturday night, just 2 days ago, a day and a half ago, was a celebration, really, a celebration of the freedom, our freedom right now to assemble, to associate, to wield influence in our government here in Utah and beyond. Be glad to talk about this one when we get back.
Yes, they're having a party, and in many ways for good reason. A lot of people put in a lot of work on that thing, ladies and gentlemen. Details in seconds. Lowell was there, and he's here to report live as a citizen reporter on Liberty Roundtable Live.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Yes, it is indeed what they call Martin Luther King Day, ladies and gentlemen. I wish we'd have the truth on that discussion. That's all we want, folks, is the truth, right? And we're hearing the good side of Martin Luther King, and you know what? I support the good that he did. But I also reject, in many ways, who he was. And I'd like the truth on Martin Luther King Day. All right, Keep My Voice as a group. KMV, they had a first annual awards gala and fundraiser, phenomenal event, celebrating all the volunteers that took part in Count My Vote, people who want to preserve the incredible value of the caucus system in Utah. And believe it or not, Kurt Crosby was one who volunteered big time. Kurt, you want to give a quick update to that, and then we'll go back to Lowell.
Well, they gave me, you know, I just thought it was interesting to know how this whole thing works. But, you know, our friends at the Eagle Forum gave me a big list of people for me to call. And these were people that had been on the list of supporters of the, well, the opponents. I mean, the guys who had voted,
of
they
the
say.
Not count
to,
my vote people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically they wanted the other system. And so it was amazing to me to go through that list because I had names, phone numbers, you know, of all these people, and I was just supposed to call them and check and see if they wanted to rethink, you know, their position or whatever, their so-called vote for that. I never got a single, out of two or three pages of people, I never got a single person that knew that they had signed up for that. And so, in my opinion, you could basically say, if the media really did its due diligence there, they could say, hey, there's a huge amount of vote fraud, I guess you'd call it, you know, involved in that whole thing in the first place.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lowell?
Great point. Before we get to Lowell, though, did you go to the gala, Kurt?
I didn't.
Oh, bummer. You could have had dinner and a celebration with Lowell.
Yeah.
All right. Lowell, update us, though. So, Kurt was a volunteer, and we thank him for his hard work on that.
Yes, Kurt was one of hundreds who went knocking on doors with a list in hand, list of people who purportedly had signed the Count My Vote petition or initiative petition to basically destroy the caucus convention system and go to a direct primary. Like Kurt said, there were a huge fraction, like, I don't know, 70% of the signers, so-called signers, claimed that they had never signed the initiative petition. And so, you know, you have to ask, well, how did their name get on there? Well, in many cases, their name was forged onto this petition, because a person would get money, like $5 or $10 per name or per signature, you know, on this Count My Vote effort to destroy the caucus convention system. And so Kurt and many others went out walking neighborhoods and successfully removed thousands of signatures from this initiative petition and thereby defeated the initiative even before it got to the ballot. So it was a valiant effort, and I'm so glad that he and so many others put in the time necessary to remove those signatures and to basically abort the effort to destroy the caucus convention system at the ballot box. So that was, we celebrated. That was one part of the gala fundraiser. Saturday night was the recognition of all the volunteers who helped stop this effort to kill caucus convention system here in Utah. Utah, by the way, is one of the last states in the union, probably the last state, that uses this truly Republican form of government. I'm not talking about Republican the party. I'm talking about Republican in the representative nature of
You are talking about one of the hallmarks of a republic. Let's be clear.
Yes, exactly. The hallmark of a republic, where you not everybody, you know, votes on every issue. That's a democracy. But in a republic, you get together with your neighbors and you select a delegate who then goes and vets candidates choose a candidate for public office that best represents, you know, an understanding, you know, best has the best understanding of the proper role of government and best represents those neighbors in whatever public office they serve. And so, you know, that's really, and Benjamin Franklin, in replying to the lady who asked him what kind of government did you give us? He said, a republic, if you can keep it. So it recognizes the importance of citizen involvement in a republic. It takes all of us, folks, in a republic to protect freedom and to defend freedom, because we can't just leave it up to an oligarchy. You can't just leave it up to politicians. You have to be involved in the selection of people who then select the public officials. And so that's the nature of the republic, and it was a great celebration. You know, Sam, you grow up and looking at the Academy Awards ceremony, the Oscars, and down there in Hollywood, and you think, wow, that I'll never be there. I'll never experience that. And, of course, when you see some of the gowns of the ladies down there, you're glad that you're not involved in any of that. This gala Saturday night was done after that particular pattern. So we had a red carpet. We had you know, people dressed up in bow ties and suit coats. We had ladies in best dressed, you know, in gowns and so forth. It was absolutely classy. We had teleprompters. We had the presenters. We had trophies, ushers. You could only get in with a ticket. I mean, we had people with, you know, the presenters would give the list of nominees, and then they would ask for the envelope, and the winner is, you know, and it was, we had live music.
Kurt, your wife would love that, buddy.
Absolutely. A live band provided the music, just like at the Oscars, you know, where they play like eight measures of music after the, you know, as the presenters come forward to the stage to make a presentation or to list the nominees to some award. You've got the band playing, you know, like four measures or maybe eight measures of Rocky or of The Greatest Showman or, you know, some of these great soundtracks. And if a person starts talking too long in accepting the award, they start playing the music to get them off the stage and shut them up so we can get to the next nominee. I mean, it was so well done. It was really classy, Sam. One of the highlights, I just have to mention this, too. One of the highlights was a video done in, you know, after the, well, a lot like Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi was famous a couple of decades ago for a number called You Give Love a Bad Name. You know, You Give Love a Bad Name. People might recognize that. I had no idea because I don't really follow Bon Jovi, but they're a huge rock band. They're really, really famous. And so the parody that was done in this video was a creative work called You Give Gov a Bad Name. And they were talking about the tax hike that the legislature did last year in the state of Utah. We had a tax, I mean, we had a revenue overflow, you know, too much money, basically. And the government still hiked our taxes nearly $1 billion last year. And so they're blaming the government. It says, you give Gov a bad name, you know. And it was truly, I mean, yeah, well, like the real lyrics say, you know, shot through the heart and you're to blame. And, of course, in the parody, it's like a tax through the heart and you're to blame. You give Gov a bad name. So, and it's all over the YouTube, it's all over Facebook, by the way. You can go to Facebook, and people have pinned this this video, you know, all over Facebook. Just look up, I don't know, Keep My Voice Facebook page, and it'll be there. And they're putting together a video presentation, basically this whole evening. It's really going to be fun. And
the reason we spend so much time on it, ladies and gentlemen, is two reasons. One, keep my voice is really important to understand, KMV, because they really want to make sure your vote counts. And the caucus system really promotes the checks and balances that made our republic great. You need to understand that clearly. And then the other reason we spend so much time on this is because once in a while you do have to spend time together, laugh together, cry together, pray together, stay together, work together. And that's what this volunteer effort's all about. And sometimes you've just got to say, hey, all is not bad in the world. There's a lot of good and a lot of good people doing wonderful things. And we need to celebrate that and kind of take back the narrative that everything is doom and gloom and kind of double down and say, look, Kurt was involved. Lowell was involved. Well, I'm only involved in that I bring it to you on the radio. I'd love to be at all those different places, but man, Saturday night, I got radio shows to run. How do I go there? But we're doing our best to have all of us participate in the way we best can to celebrate the sacred cause of liberty.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Oftentimes, the fighting and squabbling in Washington, neither side have the upper hand when it comes to morality. Lindsey Graham blames Donald Trump for troops killed in Syria last Wednesday. Now, the troops dying is a sad state of affairs, that's for sure. But I don't believe Lindsey Graham is being honest or fair about the discussion, Lol.
No, he's not, Sam. He's blaming Trump for the death of those troops. And not only were there several troops killed, but there were a number wounded, and ISIS is claiming responsibility for the attack. Now, I believe, Sam, that this was probably staged. It was probably done on purpose, subsequent to Trump's announcement that we were going to withdraw from Syria. And the war hawks, the neocons, they don't want us out of Syria. They want to continue to be there and stir up trouble. And so they probably orchestrated this attack to give us a reason to stay there longer. I mean, it makes no sense, Sam. If ISIS really wanted the United States out of Syria, if they really wanted to dominate Syria, why in the world would they do something that would induce the United States to stay there longer? I mean, it just does not make sense. But
well, when you understand that we're arming, funding, and training the enemy, then you begin to understand why they want us to stay there.
Exactly. And that's what makes sense to me. Is the neocons, the war hawks, the ones who brought ISIS into existence, they're the ones who orchestrated the attack because they want to induce the United States to not to withdraw or to withdraw slowly. And so I guess some troops have already left Syria, but they're not going very far. Apparently, they're just going over into Iraq, which is very close there.
Which is a sad tale to tell, and it's disingenuous to say that we're bringing them home when it's not really true. But Lindsey blaming Donald, Donald is the commander-in-chief. I say there's plenty of blame to go around, Lowell.
Yeah, certainly so. I don't blame just Graham. I don't blame just Trump. I don't blame. I think I will blame the Congress for failing to, exercise their power to declare war, to not declare war. I mean, if the executive goes and declares a war, takes a military action
or foments a war without declaration.
Yep. Then they ought to be removed from office because they don't have that authority. The states did not give the executive that authority. They put that authority squarely in the hands of Congress, which is closer to the people. And, if Congress declares war, then, yeah, the executive is responsible to be the commander-in-chief and to wage that war. But if that war is not declared, then he better not be out there taking military action against other nations.
And there's two issues here. One is the authority to declare war and to deal with foreign responsibilities like that. The other one, though, is Congress also controls the funding and the purse strings. So they're doubly responsible for this. And not only can we not just blame Trump for the troops killed there, we've been arming and training and funding these ne'er-do-wells around the world, picking both sides of wars for a long time. Congress simply not doing their responsibility to defund it or withhold funding. But Congress can also end U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen. So it doesn't matter what theater we're talking about. Congress really has the authority. And for Graham just to blame Donald? Are you kidding me? He has as much responsibility, meaning Graham, as anybody. The only one being responsible that I see on both sides of the aisle speaking out boldly, nobly, and consistently is Rand Paul. That's the only one that I see truly not responsible here.
Well, and there's, I think Mike Lee also.
But I haven't heard him say a word about it, and he's done a lot of things that have undermined that. Scott Bradley points that out quite well.
That's true, but in this last effort, he was on he was leading the charge right there with Rand on this resolution in the Senate just 2 weeks ago, where they passed. Maybe it was a month ago now, but basically they used the 73 War Powers Resolution to they passed their own resolution saying we shouldn't be supporting the Saudi-led genocide in Yemen, and that passed the Senate. And Mike spoke in favor of that and got a majority of the senators.
And he was right to do so, and I concur when he does it. I'm just saying the consistent one about this, though, has been Rand Paul.
Yeah, which is fantastic because Rand, it gets better and better the longer he's in there, which is very unusual. The politicians generally gravitate, they moderate, you know, towards the center. And yet Rand, just like his dad, I mean, he gets better with time.
In Rand's defense, I think he was a little bit softer at first trying to get along. He thought that was the way to kind of make a difference different from his dad. And he's learning over time that gets you nowhere. All they do is you give them an inch, they take a mile, they laugh at you and mock you and reject you. And so now he's starting to hold the line a lot better. But he's got a lot of credibility, and he's a great speaker, and he does a phenomenal job. Anyway, our prayers are that we can basically not have troops killed in Syria because we get out of there. That we don't have a war in Yemen because we get out of there. That we literally lead the world in peace and diplomatic relationships and negotiations. We're not isolationists, but we want to lead with peace, not war. And we depend upon Congress, whose delegated authority and responsibility it is, to make sure that we don't fund and that we don't participate in these armed conflicts around the world. If it's legitimate, let's declare a war, let's define the objectives, let's fund it, let's get in, get the job done, and get out. But we have no business training both sides of wars around the world, or both participants, if you will. We have no business funding this till the cows come home. We have no business arming people around the world. We're the biggest arms dealer in the whole world, folks. And then we claim that we're advocating or fomenting for peace. It isn't genuine. It isn't the truth. And the sooner we defend America and we get out of these foreign conflicts, as George Washington would have, a humble foreign policy, the better off we'll be. Anything else on that, Lowell?
Yeah, the reason I bring this up, Sam, is because we had a victory in the Senate, like I mentioned, a month or two ago when they passed that resolution. But this similar resolution failed in the House. Not a single one of our representatives from the state of Utah voted for the resolution like they did in the Senate. And so the United States still is supporting Saudi Arabia in their coalition against Yemen. For example, over the weekend, the Saudi warplanes pounded the Yemeni capital and over two dozen airstrikes just in the last several days, folks. And so these attacks, they focused initially on sites believed to be used for Yemen's growing drone operations, along with some other military training sites, but quickly spread, you know, the bombing quickly spread to civilian neighborhoods, caused a large fire at a plastics factory. Two civilians were killed, many others wounded. A substantial number of homes were damaged and destroyed in the attacks. And so what I'm telling you is that we need to, in the new Congress, so we have a new Congress, they just got sworn in, right, a couple weeks ago, we need, the Senate needs to pass another resolution, and the House this time needs to concur with that resolution and send to President Trump this overwhelming sentiment that Congress does not want us to continue to support Saudi Arabia and their genocide of the Yemeni people. And that's not, so we're not done yet, folks. And I know this is a national show. It's going to go out everywhere. So everybody in all the states, please talk to your representatives in the U.S. Congress, your senators, your representatives, and let them know you want us to end our support of Saudi Arabia's genocide in Yemen.
And for those of you who love Martin Luther King and his push for peace, let's do it not only in America, not only with race relations, but around the world, folks, shall we?
Great idea, Sam.
What do you say to that, Will? All right, we got to talk about pro-life before the end of the hour, too. And Utah March for Life is going to be having an event on Saturday, January the 26th. So this Saturday, 1 p.m. Utah Capitol. You can go to marchforlifeutah.org or prolifeutah.org to learn more of the details and get involved. But they're having a tremendous event coming up, and there's probably like-minded events across the country in your state as well, Lowell.
I hope that's the case. Obviously, the march in Washington, D.C. was last Monday. And no, was it today?
Last Saturday, sir. Two days ago.
And so in Utah, the pro-life march is this coming Saturday. Again, January 26th. We're going to have a number of speakers there. Oh, and by the way, it's not going to be so strenuous. We've prepared for weather, too. I mean, pro-life Utah. It's basically you walk around the Capitol and then you go inside the Capitol, sit down on chairs for the program. And we're going to be listening to speakers like Angela Forker, who's a photographer of life-saving, life-affirming images. You've got Lindsay Tafengatoto, a mother and a pro-life speaker. You've got Hillary Peterson, the mother of Sophie. MC is going to be Rod Arquette from KNRS Radio. You've got the singer Kelsey Edwards, so just a great lineup.
You got a lot going on, and it's a carrying forward of the pro-life agenda that happened 2 days ago at March for Life. And at March for Life, I got great news for you. Senator Daines of Montana announces first pro-life caucus in the Senate, and basically saying that, hey, you know what, we can get this done. We can start to really push for pro-life and really organize and make sure that we're all pulling in the same direction. And these state events, the March for Life events, Utah is going to happen Saturday the 26th, coming up at 1 p.m. Anyway, they're all pulling in the same direction for this pro-life agenda. We've got more pro-life movement now than I've seen in my lifetime, Lowell. It is tremendous to watch. The federal government's involved. The states are involved. Vice President Mike Pence was at the March for Life rally 2 days ago. His wife was with him. Donald Trump gave a video speech and said, I'll veto any legislation that promotes pro-abortion agenda of any kind. You know what? It's a start. It's far from perfect, but it's a start, and we're really making an effort here. The greatest cause of death in the world, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is abortion, if you don't know that. Lowell?
And one more thing on this that I didn't know until just this morning, Sam, was looking at the New American Magazine had a review on a controversial movie called Roe v. Wade. And they put this article out November 4th, just 2 months ago, Sam. But it's a film about the truth behind Roe v. Wade. In a synopsis of the film on the website, we find the opening scene goes back to the roots of the abortion movement with Margaret Sanger's speech at a Ku Klux Klan meeting describing her goal to reduce the African-American population. She was the founder of Planned Parenthood and is synonymous with the abortion agenda. Basically, she wanted to kill Negroes and clean up the globe, basically get their race, kill them so that they can't be. It's sick, Sam, and they wanted to do this with ministers. Anyway, this movie is going to be coming out in late 2019, and they really had a tough time producing this movie because people would contract for a venue, and then when they heard that Roe v. Wade was a pro-life film, then they would back out. Some of the actors walked off the set. I mean, it was really tough to get to be made, but I'm really looking forward to this movie in 2019.
So you got Gosnell, which has just rocked the box office, doing a phenomenal job highlighting the murderous intents of evil ones. We got now this Roe versus Wade movie. You got another movie coming out about Abby Johnson, the abortion mill female that realized how evil and wrong it was, and now she's a strong advocate for pro-life. Ladies and gentlemen, we are making a difference. Take courage, would you please? And believe it or not, Martin Luther King's niece, from what I understand, Elvita King is her name, she says, pray for an end to all crimes against humanity, born and unborn. Amen. Final words, yours, Lowell.
Visit marchforlifeutah.org, folks. There's a great little video there, 3 minutes, that talks about abortion, medically induced abortion. You need to see it, folks. marchforlifeutah.org.
Godspeed, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. Scott Bradley joining us. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.